All right, I ask you to turn tonight to Hebrews chapter number 11. Paul writing to the Hebrew Christians, and one of those classic chapters in the Bible, Hebrews chapter number 11. I want to read verse 21. And here the Bible says, by faith, Jacob, when he was a-dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight that we have this opportunity that we can come and assemble ourselves. And tonight, in the name of Jesus, Father, we pray for these that are sick tonight. We pray a special prayer tonight for Morgan and Eli and Bailey Grace. And Lord, that we pray that you might reach down and comfort their parents and comfort them. We pray for all these others that are on our prayer list tonight, Lord, and that you might meet the needs of their life. We pray tonight for this service, that you might speak to our hearts by your Spirit and your Word, that you might lead us and guide us and direct us in the direction that we need to go. And for all that's done and all that's said here tonight, may Jesus receive the honor and glory, for it's in his name that we pray. Amen and amen. I heard a story about a lady that went to a doctor, and after a thorough examination and running many tests, he came in to where she was, and he said, "Ma'am, are you a religious person? Do you believe in God?" And she said, "I certainly do." And he said, "Well, it's that you need to call your minister, and he needs to begin to pray for you." And she said, "You mean it's come to that?" You know, sometimes that's the way we are, isn't it? We wait till it comes to that. Well, tonight I want to talk to you about a man that by the name of Jacob tonight, and he had to learn a valuable lesson about that himself. And we find here in chapter number 11 of the book of Hebrews that he's included in God's hall of faith. But in verse 21, what it says about him is very, very interesting. It said that he was on his deathbed as he was dying, that he blessed both the sons of Joseph, but notice that last little phrase, worshiped, leaning up on the top of his staff. And I believe Jacob had to learn a valuable lesson in life, and one tonight that you and I say that very, very emphatically, and I include I in that. This week I heard an old gospel song. I was going somewhere, I don't remember where I was going. I had it on 99.3 listening to gospel music. And the song Learning to Lean came on. I hadn't heard it in a good number of years. But I thought about Jacob. I thought tonight that one of the great lessons in life that I need to learn was learned here by Jacob. He had to learn to lean on Jesus. And I think sometimes we need to learn to lean on the Lord, you see. You see, Jacob, of course, was the twin to a man by the name of Esau, who they were, of course, born to Isaac and Rebekah. And Esau was the firstborn, a man's man, a man who hunted and fished and was always bringing in the venison and always bringing in the food. And his father, Isaac, loved the food that Esau brought in, and as the firstborn, he had the birthright and the blessings of the father. Of course, we know that Jacob, and that word means surplanter. That's what his name means. And a surplanter is one who takes the place of another, most of the time through scheming and trickery tonight. In other words, Jacob could be called a schemer or a con man. And of course, we know that one day when Esau came in from hunting and he was famished, he was hungry, and he sold Jacob his birthright for a bowl of soup. And Jacob then had the birthright. And then when Isaac was old and couldn't see good, Rebekah, his mother, connived with Jacob, and they received the blessing that was due Esau. And so Jacob tonight, as he sees the birthright and the blessing of Esau, he had to leave home. And for he left home and he headed back to the place where his wife, where his mother had come from. A man by the name of Laban, of course, was his uncle. And he stayed there for 20 long years. He labored first of all for a wife and then another wife and then for some goods and possessions for another 6 years. And so he stayed there with his uncle Laban for 20 years. But in Genesis chapter number 32, you find that the Bible depicts and tells us the story that Jacob is now headed back toward home. He's headed back toward the land of Canaan. He's headed back toward the land that Abraham had, that God had promised to Abraham. And Abraham had brought through it down through his son Isaac. And now it was to become Jacob's tonight. And so he's headed home. And so he had to learn some lessons on the way home. And I want you to listen tonight just carefully, real quickly, about some things about Jacob tonight. First of all, I want you to understand that here we're talking about a man who was saved. Now, I'm not going to get into Old Testament theology this afternoon, but we find that he's included in God's hall of faith. And we know that he believed in God, and he believed in God. When he left home, he stopped at a place called Bethel, and we sometimes talk about Jacob's ladder. But I'm not dealing with Jacob's ladder tonight, but understand that he believed God. He had faith in God. Jacob was a man that was saved by the grace of God this afternoon. The Bible says that God loved Jacob. And you know, why did God love Jacob? You look, here's a con man, a schemer, a man tonight that every step of his life had been some way and somehow to get himself ahead in life. He never seemed like he cared much about the Lord, but God loved Jacob. Why did God love Jacob? The same reason tonight that he loved me and you. You see, he looked at what Jacob could be, not what he was. You see, God saw Jacob tonight in all of his weakness, in all of his faults, in all of his wretchedness and brokenness tonight. And that's the way God sees us. You know, most of the time we think God sees us dressed up and real nice. And, well, we're just the prime of God's eye. But you see, God sees all your problems and all your faults. He sees all your conflicts and your weaknesses and your wretchedness tonight. And when we stand before God, that God looks at us in His righteousness, everything we have is as filthy rags in His sight tonight. But God looks at us in all of that weakness and all of that wretchedness tonight. And you know what? God still loves us. That's the reason that he loved Jacob tonight, the same reason that he loves you and I. You see, tonight, we're not valuable. We're not so valuable that God loves us. We're never able to make ourselves so valuable and so great that God would love us tonight. But we're valuable because God does love us tonight. And so we're talking about a man here that believed God, had faith in God, a man who had been saved tonight. And if you're saved, you're still saved by grace. As I said, we'll sometime talk about Old Testament theology if you'd like, but just understand this tonight, as it's included there in God's hall of faith. The Bible, very plainly describes there that by faith, and when you talk about by faith, that means you're saved. And Jacob was a saved man. He was a child of God. And tonight, when we look at the life of Jacob, we're looking at the life and we're looking at something that Jacob had to learn as a child of God. You know, sometimes as children of the Lord, we have to learn some things. We have to learn some lessons in life. And Jacob learned a very valuable one here tonight. You see, he was a conniver. The Bible said that he was always figuring out a way to get ahead. He was wise after the flesh. You know, the Bible talks about some people are like that tonight. We would say that he was sharp. He was a good businessman. He knew how to get along in life. Now, when he got down to he had already tricked his father and got the blessings that belonged to Esau. And when he got down to the land there and he got there was Laban, and Laban said, what would you that I do for you? And he said, well, I love Rachel. Rachel is the apple of my eye. I have such a great love for her. I'll work for you for 7 years if you'll give me her hand in marriage. And of course, Laban said, okay, we'll do that. And so for 7 years, Jacob had worked and labored for Laban. And on the wedding night, instead of Rachel, he got Leah, her sister, her older sister. And he was upset, and he came and said, wait a minute, what's going on here? And he said, well, you can't take the younger before the older. And he said, if you'll work another 7 years, I'll give you Rachel. And so he worked another 7 years, and of course, that time he got Rachel. But by that time, he had kind of learned his uncle, as you read between the lines a little bit in the scripture, and we find that he stayed another 6 years, and he figured out a way to connive and to amass greater riches than that of his uncle. He tonight was a conniver. He was a person who figured out how to get along in this life. He had a lot of confidence in himself. You know, we see a lot of people like that tonight. And sometimes we're exactly the same way, aren't we? We're confident. We can get ourselves out of about any situation we get into. We've got it all figured out. You know, one of the things that I see today, and one of the things they're always harping on, is that we need to teach children self-confidence. Now, I'm not against teaching them self-confidence in one way. Don't misunderstand that. I'm not for browbeating and beating them down and all of that thing. But understand this tonight. One of the great problems we have is when we get so much self-confidence, we forget about the one that we really ought to have confidence in tonight. And Jacob had a lot of self-confidence tonight. He had figured out a way to get along in life. And so he amasses a great fortune. And so he decides, now it's time to return back to my homeland. And he's headed back home. And the Bible even tells us that God sent the angels to protect him on the way. Well, that's great that God would even send angels, isn't it, tonight? We don't ever know what God's doing in our life, do we? How God is protecting us. But Jacob was very confident in himself. And so as he's headed back, he begins to think, what am I going to do about Esau? I haven't seen Esau in 20 years, and Esau is a very unruly man, a rebellious man, a warlike man, you know. So I really don't want to face in battle. I got to figure out a way to beat him. And so the Bible tells us that in verse number 3 of Genesis 32, and Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau his brother under the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, thus shall you speak unto my lord Esau. Thus thy servant Jacob saith this, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now, and have oxen and asses and flocks and men servants and women servants, and I have sent to tell thee, my lord, that I might find grace in thy sight. You see, he turned on the charm. He took the Dale Carnegie course in how to win friends and influence people. Never speak ill of your enemy. And so he said, hey, you're better than I am, my lord Esau, and I'll just be your servant. And I just wanted to check and see how you was doing and let you know I was headed home. And I'm willing to serve you. He turned on the charm. You see, he thought, man, I can charm Esau into not harming me. And then notice what the Bible said. And the messenger returned to Jacob, saying, we came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him. Now, when he talks about 400 men here, he's talking about 400 warriors, not just 400 men. He's gathered him an army of 400 people. And notice what the Bible said, and then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. Jacob said, what am I going to do now? This is a problem. Here he comes, and he's very warlike, and he's got him an army with him, and he's coming, and he's going to take everything I have and kill all of us. make us his prisoners, if nothing else. And he was afraid and he was distressed. That means he didn't know what in the world he was going to do next for a moment. Now notice what he says. And he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks and the herds and the camels and on the two bands. And he said, if Esau come to one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape. He said, I got it. I know what I'll do. He said, sometimes you got to cut your losses. He said, half is better than nothing. So I'll divide them. I'll put one here and I'll put one over there. And whichever one he attacks, the others can escape, and I'll be left with at least a half of what I have. I got it. So he figured it all out. He had exactly what you and I do sometimes, doesn't he? When things distress us, we get it all figured out. This is what we're going to do. We sit down and we think it out and map out us a strategy. And boy, we got it made. But, he said, I got all this figured out. But notice something else. You see, we really don't think we need God, do we? Most of the time, do you and I really need the Lord? Jacob, he didn't. We figured it out on our own. We'll do it on our own. But then he thought, oh, wait a minute. I better pray about this. He doesn't got it figured out now. I don't know what he's going to do. That's what it says. And then the Bible said, Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidest unto me, return unto thy country and thy kindred, I will deal well with thee. And he began to pray. I'm not worthy the least of thy mercies and of all thy truth which thou hast showed me unto thy servant. For with thy staff I passed over Jordan, now I'm become into two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother and from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and smite me and the mother with the children. He said, well, just to make sure, I'm going to pray now. Kind of like the lady that was asked, where'd you meet your husband? She said, at a travel agent. He was the last resort. Sometimes that's the way it is, isn't it? Instead of our first response, prayer becomes our last resort. We're not the country preacher that was offered a position in a big church with a large salary. And he told his wife, he said, you go home and pack while I pray about it. We got it all figured out, haven't we? And I emphasize we. Me too. Sometimes I get it all figured out. Know exactly how everything ought to be. Then we ask the Lord to bless what we've just done. You ever do that? You ever think, well, man, this is what I'm going to do. Now, God bless it. God deliver me. God help me. God make this plan work. Think about that. Jacob was just like a lot of us, isn't he? Just like a lot of people today. He had his own plan. He said, now, Lord, deliver me. I got all of this figured out, Lord. I just want you to bless it. But then something happened. Let me get to my verse here. Verse 22. And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone. God got him in a place of isolation. God got him a place alone. You know, sometimes God has to get us alone. Most of us don't like to be alone, but sometimes the Lord has to get us alone. He has to get us in that place where he can talk to you and I. That's what he did with Jacob. He's fixed and talked to him face to face. And the Bible says, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he had prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. He got him here in a place of isolation so he could begin to talk to him, because now he came to him in a time of confrontation. See, sometimes God confronts us. That's what he was here. Jacob was wrestling with the Lord, the angel of God. He was wrestling here. And we all know that God could have prevailed. We all know that God could have pinned him. Why didn't he? Because he doesn't want us to serve him by force. He doesn't want us to trust him tonight because of his great power. He wants us to serve him tonight because he loves us and because we love him. Amen. And he confronted Jacob. I read this, and sometimes I see the wrestling match going on in my mind. And sometimes I think, been many a night I wrestled a little bit myself. You ever lay in the bed and wrestle with the Lord? You think about it tonight. Somebody said, you don't believe the Bible, believe the Bible literally. Don't misunderstand that. But there's been many a night, you know, you begin to wonder, Lord. And the Lord begins to wrestle with you. He gets you to a place of confrontation where you have to come to him face to face. And the Bible says here that as the day began to break, the Lord said, let me go. Jacob said, I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me. And he said, what's your name? They knew his name. Why did he ask him that? He said, Jacob. But notice what it says. And he said, thy name shall be no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. He said, I'm going to change you now. He changed him there that night. He was no longer the con man and the supplanter and the conniver, but he became Israel, a prince of God. You see, the Bible says that he touched him in the hollow of his thigh. And from that day forth, Jacob walked with a limp. He had to use a cane. He had to lean upon that cane, and he was reminded every day of the time that God touched him. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:21, we read for our text, that he's leaning upon his staff. You see, here Jacob now became a man who was dependent upon God. He became the man who now had learned to lean upon the Lord, to quit trying to do it on his own, to quit trying to connive and figure out a way through life, but to put his faith and his trust in the Lord and worship him. That's a lesson we all need to learn tonight, folks. Right. Learning to lean, finding more power than I've ever known. Learning to lean on Jesus. You know, we think we've got it all figured out sometime, don't we? We think we the sharpest thing that God ever created. We got it all worked out and how everything's going to be. Most of the time, and a lot of the time, it doesn't come that way, does it? But you know, when we begin to learn to lean on the Lord, when we become dependent upon him, when it'll say we're going to split it into two parts and we're going to do this, do that, now Lord bless it. Instead of it being our last resort, we make it our first response and say, Lord, this is what I need. Lord, this is the need of my life and I don't know how to meet it. Lord, I don't know what to do. I'm in a perplexing time, Lord. I'm distressed. Lord, I'm going to lean on you and follow you. I'm going to learn to lean. I believe we all come out a lot better in that way, don't you?
Right.
Doesn't matter what the situation is. People face a lot of situations in life. But when you learn to lean on Jesus, when you learn to lean on the Lord tonight, may I say to you that that's when you become dependent upon God and God's power becomes really prevalent in your life. That's when you can have victory. It might not turn out the way the world thought was victory, but it'll be victory because God determined that that was the way it needed to be tonight. I have to depend upon the Lord. But I have problems doing that because I usually want to figure it out myself. I usually want to connive and configure and say, this is what we need to do, instead of simply saying, Lord, here it is. You do with it what needs to be done. And you know, it doesn't get in too big a mess for the Lord to figure it out, does it? It doesn't get in such a mess that God can't say and bring victory out of defeat. If we'll simply learn this one simple little lesson tonight, whatever it is in our life, if we'll learn to lean on Jesus.
Amen.
Let's learn to lean on the Lord tonight. If you're a child of God tonight, learn to lean on Him. Take Him at His word. And you know, when you begin to learn to lean on Him, victory becomes yours. And life becomes a lot sweeter, a lot more joyful. If we'll lean on Him and let Him teach us and guide us and direct us in what we need to do and be obedient to Him. Learning to lean on Jesus. All right, if you'll stand together with me, Brother Ruthie and Barbara, come. Heavenly Father, thank You for this time. We ask You to bless this very simple message. Use the honor and glory of Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. In His name we pray. Amen.